It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 312, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, my brother Matt and I spend most of our time talking hoops and previewing the big game against St. Mary's. What will it take for the Cougars to contain National Player of the Year candidate Jock Landale and beat the Gaels? Also on the show, Kyle Vannoy in the Super Bowl, Tom Homo talks independence, and our favorite movies of 2017. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Join our conversation on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. And listen to Matt and I yap right now. So Matt, are you coming up for the Super Bowl? It's here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, you got us tickets, right?
You know, I looked into tickets. They're a little pricey.
That's fine. You're good for it. You're just going to cover it for me. Yeah,
well,
not so much.
I'll go. Let's look at it right now. It was last time I checked. This was before the conference championships. It was $4,300 for the cheapest tickets.
Okay, seems reasonable.
On StubHub, as of now, Wednesday evening, it's gone down. Oh, Matt, they're down to $3,500. I'm glad I didn't buy them last week. That would have been ridiculous. It's now down to $3,500.
That would have just been silly.
So I told my wife, I said, Kathleen, we got Matt's going to come up if the Pats get in the Super Bowl. He's going to come up and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. She's like, oh, really? Obviously I'm just messing with her, but she's like, really? I'm like, yeah. We just have to decide which kid doesn't go to college.
I think you just got to pick the one that's least likely to want to go anyway, right?
Or the one that's most likely to get a scholarship, maybe?
No, there you go. That's a more positive spin on it.
I don't know. I don't know which direction you go on that one. But Matt, Super Bowl is in Minneapolis. It's going to be crazy. I've wondered if we should have gone to Florida and rented out our house to pay for it. But you know, whatever. So Justin Sweeney has our first tweet bag.
Sweeney.
And it's about the Super Bowl, and it's a little bitter, Matt.
Tweet bag.
It's a little bitter. It says, whose jersey do you wear when rooting for the Patriots? The New England jersey or the refs? Hashtag tweet bag.
Hashtag bitter pants.
Hashtag the league does not like the Patriots. Stop, people. Stop. I'm not saying all the calls were right, okay? I'm not defending any bad calls. But with this whole thing that the league wants the Patriots in there for ratings or something, stop. Stop. The league hates the Patriots. Goodell wants no part of the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
If it were about ratings, would they have put in there two teams, both from the Northeast, with extremely concentrated fan bases that annoy the rest of the entire country?
Well, look at the price. No joke. Look at the price of the tickets. The price of the tickets went down $800. Right? I think there were a lot of Vikings fans here locally that were really excited, that would have emptied the savings to go see the Vikings in the Super Bowl.
And
right?
All 17 Jacksonville fans.
And all 17 Jacksonville fans were fired up and ready to come up to Minnesota. But anyway, it's...
Because if there's one thing that people from Florida love in the winter, it's Minnesota.
Well, I got a foot of snow yesterday. Foot of snow, Matt. It was beautiful.
Fresh snow.
What's the street
value? Any idea what the street value of this is?
We both make the same joke. We're so predictable. All right. So, Matt, let's jump right into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, Cougars in the pros here. We've got the NFL, obviously. Kyle Vannoy is headed to another Super Bowl. So, all you Patriots haters, if you're BYU fans, you got to be rooting for the Pats, right? It's Kyle Vannoy.
I don't think you have a choice. You don't have a choice.
And it's not like he's sitting on the sidelines watching. I mean, he is a key and integral part to a much improved Patriots defense.
Yes, sir.
Matt, are you worried about the Eagles?
Am I worried about the what?
The Eagles? The Eagles.
Oh.
Philadelphia.
I thought this was like a Muggles thing. I thought we were going Harry Potter
we're not
here
going
for a minute.
Harry Potter. I'm just
yeah,
making
no,
fun
I,
of the Eagles.
I am. I'm worried about the Eagles. Who wouldn't be worried about a team led by quarterback Nick Foles? If I were an Eagles fan, I'd be extremely worried.
Hey, I will tell you this. The Eagles have Patriots kryptonite, which is a really, really good defensive line.
And Tom Coughlin. No, wait a minute. Sorry.
Nope.
That's
nope.
somebody
that
else.
Was the last week.
Sorry.
I mean, I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the Eagles' defense is good enough to keep it close, and then you never know what is going to happen.
It'll be a competitive game. This won't be. I don't think this is a Super Bowl that's over at halftime or even.
I mean, I have to say, I was impressed with Foles and that offense. That Minnesota defense is good, and they absolutely carved them up.
They looked very good in that game.
I don't know against a Matt Patricia defense if that read pass option will be as effective. And you just showed, 40 minutes of tape on it for the Patriots. And Matt, the biggest question is if both the coordinators leave, which like Josh McDaniels, let's take Josh McDaniels. Is he a traitor if he goes to the Colts? Because I hate the Colts.
This is a job, dude. He's not
know,
a traitor
just,
if he
totally
goes to the Colts.
I'm totally kidding. And I like Andrew Luck.
I'll never speak his name aloud again, but yeah, he's not a traitor.
He'll be dead to us.
Yeah, I mean.
In other NFL news, Matt, your hometown Narland Saints, Taysom Hill is preparing, according to some local reports, preparing to be the future Saints quarterback. He was obviously on special teams this year, didn't really see any time, according to him, really any time in practice either as a quarterback, let alone in games. Matt, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Don't you think they're going to try to get him to switch positions? Taysom wasn't talking that way, though.
Yeah, but he's not going to talk that way.
Oh, yeah, sure. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. Have the Saints finally convinced him to start thinking about playing somewhere else? I was starting to think that maybe they have. But when you read what he's saying about, the things he's saying today about where he wants to be and where he thinks he's going to fit in, I mean, it doesn't sound to me like they've had that conversation.
No, it does. No, it does not. Or if they have, he's decided, well, I'm going to be a quarterback, right? This was fine, and this was nice to block a punt, but that's not what he wants to do. Though he might be really good at it. And Matt, last thing with the Cougars in the news, Jimmer, he's pretty good at basketball.
He's better than I am.
That's a pretty low bar. He continues to dominate in China, Matt. Another week and another 40-point game and like 10 threes or whatever. I mean, he is dominating again. No fluke last year. Not a fluke.
Yeah, but do we know, where do the Shanghai Sharks, where are they in the standings these days? I mean,
I have no idea.
It's cool. I mean, we're in the same place we were a year ago on this, right? Like, it's cool that he's racking up all these points and nobody really cares about the outcome of that league season.
Nope. And I watch occasionally if somebody else posts it, I watch his highlights. Which is cool. But sticking with basketball, Matt, Kyle Collinsworth lighting up the G League, signed to a 10-day contract with the Dallas Mavericks. Matt, I watched some of his highlights from the G League. He looks really good. I just think as I've watched the NBA this season, I think Kyle Collinsworth can play in the NBA as a 7th, 8th, or 9th man. I mean, he passes, he rebounds, he's still not the greatest shooter at long distance, though that seems to be improving. Matt, am I crazy for thinking that Kyle Collinsworth has a future in the NBA?
No, I don't think that's crazy at all.
I think it does. I think he's going to stick eventually here. I mean, he just does a lot of things well. And to me, in the NBA, you either have to be a specialist who does one thing extremely well, you know, like you're J.J. Redick and you can shoot, or you have to be, you know, kind of a utility guy that can do a bunch of things well. And there's really, for him, I mean, he can guard a bunch of different kind of players. I don't know. I think he's going to stick. I think the Mavs or somebody else is going to give him a chance. And again, he's not going to be an all-star. But, you know, if it's 5 or 6 years from now and he's still sticking around on rosters, I'm not going to be shocked.
Well, what's interesting is you don't typically, especially in baseball, right, there's this model and nobody really has a good duplicate for it in professional sports, where a player will get into a minor league system of a team and they use that system to develop a guy and then bring him up into the majors. That doesn't really exist in any other sport. And nor are there a lot of good stories, you know, when you look at the developmental and G leagues and D leagues and all this other stuff. There's not a lot of good examples of this.
Just a few. Handful.
Right. So it'd be interesting because I think the NBA wants to move into that type of a model. You know, when you look at the 10-day contracts that they sign and the two-way contracts and what they're trying to do with the G League. So I think there's some interest in that. There's some push and pull back and forth around the one-and-done rule and just how does the NBA stand on and all this. So, you know, maybe we should expect more of this going forward.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, Matt, we're going to talk basketball now. We're going to jump back into the tweet bag. If you want to join the tweet bag and hashtag climb on in, you can do so via Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. Send us a tweet there. Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or as Tim, who we're going to read his message here in a minute. He did it in the old-fashioned email. That's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, the basketball team continues to look good. They had two more victories against better opponents than the week before. So that's, you know, we talked about this last week. How much did victories mean against two truly terrible teams? But San Diego's pretty decent. Maybe Loyola a little less so. There, but they had two convincing victories. But Tim Jacobson, before we get into the basketball side, he had a question about Bill Walton. This is what Tim asked. Was it just me, or was Bill Walton missing from the crew at the BYU-LMU game? Was it because, A, he was actually there, but he was just in the Grateful Dead parking lot student section? There's a Grateful Dead parking lot student section? I did not know that. I don't think there is. Anyway, B, could not be awoken from deep meditation atop Mount Timpanogos. I think that is possible.
I think so far that may be most likely, but we'll go on.
He was riding his bike across America to raise awareness for basketball safety. Okay. And D, ESPN couldn't afford it after Roxy demanded hazard pay after getting cougar clawed in the face last time. Hashtag forever Bill. I think he was in meditation on atop Mount Timpanogos. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, Matt.
And when you say it that way, I feel like it's, I don't even remember what these commercials are for, but they go up to talk to this guy on the mountain and he asks them a question about birds. And they're like, we don't know the answer to that. He's like, oh, I was kind of hoping you did.
I don't even know what commercials they're talking about, and I watch a ton of television.
It's like Rocket Mortgage commercial or something. Mm. I don't know what it is. Mm. All that.
You know what commercial I just want to punch in the face?
What's that?
Verizon. The one with the drapes.
Oh, my gosh.
Dumbest
commercial on television.
It's especially dumb when you've seen it like 80 times. You didn't know it was Verizon. You did? Okay. Oh, my gosh. Yuck. Punch that one in the face. You can't punch a commercial in the face, by the way. I've tried. Just hurts. All right. Matt, four victories in a row, right, for the basketball team. Are we back on track after that early win streak, or Does the foes we've played make you say, eh?
It's kind of in the middle. I'm very middle of the road on that, right? I think the foes that we've played kind of make me say, meh. But because of that feeling, I think you have to look a little bit deeper and you have to say, okay, well, how are we winning these games? And is the performance in some way demonstrate any type of improvement over what we've seen before? And I think there are some reasons to be encouraged about the performance.
Right.
You know, I don't know that we're ready to blow the doors off of the conference tournament quite yet, but I think there are some improvements in play.
So let's talk about that, some of that, where the improvement comes from, and we'll get a question from Chase Blyle, that's at Chase Blyle on Twitter. He says, if TJ Haws keeps playing well, what is our new ceiling? I thought we would be 0-4 against St. Mary's and Gonzaga with his prior performances, but after last week, I'm not so sure. Hashtag tweetbag. Matt, TJ Haws over the last four games is averaging around 14 points. He's getting not a lot of rebounds, but he's averaging, you know, four or five assists, a couple of steals. And I think one of the most important things, he's only turning the ball over a couple times a game. Matt, that's way better than his numbers from earlier in the year, though he did have a couple of explosive games against the like of Illinois State and Weber early in the season. Matt, do you feel like TJ Haws has turned a corner here?
I think I do. I think he has turned a corner. I can go into some, you know, big and pontificate on this, but that's certainly what it looks like, right?
Oh, I think so. He's played a lot better. I think the offense works. If Elijah Bryant is not handling the ball, either because he's on the bench or it's just, you know, you're setting up something else, to me, he's the best guy to have the ball in his hands. I think so. I think, you know, and now if you looked at his advanced statistics at this point, Matt, he's playing. I mean, he had been bad, right, at one point in the season compared mm-hmm. to last year. He's basically even with where he was last year in some metrics, maybe a little better, including I think defensively he's playing better, and I think, you know, yeah, the 3-point percentage is still down from last year, but it's climbing, and you know the assists are up and the steals are up. I don't know. I think he has turned a corner, and I think right now he is clearly the third best player on the team. Any disagreement there?
No, which is interesting though, right? Because we clearly felt he was not inside of that group.
No. Earlier in the season, I thought there were a couple of guys that were, and they were at the time outplaying him. You know, this was before Nixon got hurt originally. You know, I thought, you know, McKay Cannon at one point, I think, was outplaying him. You know, but all those other guys, you know, he's gotten better. And of course, Nixon was hurt, so he was out. And McKay Cannon has settled into a nice role and is a good piece, but maybe not the Nick Emery replacement that we were imagining after his first game or two, which is why, you know, you don't get too fired up after one. But Matt, what is the ceiling here with him playing like he is? Nixon's back, which I think is huge. What's the ceiling for the Cougars? I mean, they got three games left with St. Mary's and Gonzaga. We'll get to that St. Mary's game. Can they take two of those with this group playing how they are?
I think they can take two of those with this group playing the way that they are. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, I feel like at least I walk in each of these seasons, and to me, Gonzaga's kind of like the Ivan Drago, right?
Yeah.
It's like this big machine, and, you know, and we're coming and we're going to have to cut them down. And you have that moment in Rocky IV, right, where Rocky draws blood and he cuts Drago. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, the Russian, he's cut. Look at him, he's cut. And you see Drago kind of looks up and he puts his mitt on the blood on his forehead. And he's like, you know, it's like, what is this, you know, red discharge coming out of my face? Like he's never seen his own blood. And, but Gonzaga's clearly cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if BYU plays the way they've played for the past couple of weeks, that is a game, I believe that's a game that they can win. And I don't know that I feel like St. Mary's is, you know, way out there for BYU either. Now, if you look, you know, the rankings and all this type of stuff, you might think that I'm crazy, but that loss, while kind of an ugly 10-point loss, if you remove the overtime,
oh,
it's an extremely competitive game.
Could have won that game at the end of regulation, right?
Right.
I mean, a better play, better execution at that game, and we're having a total different conversation about their season. So I don't think it's unrealistic at all to think they could beat St. Mary's tomorrow night and beat Gonzaga one out of two.
And St. Mary's was down to Gonzaga at the half.
Yeah.
Right? And came back and had a very solid second half performance to win that game. So I think that there's definitely a chance there. And if you look at where the team has had success, I think you see some things where, you know, there are some things to key in on that kind of indicate the formula for success for this basketball team.
So Matt, I want to talk about something interesting to me early in the season. And you know, I'm an advanced stats guy. I love the stats.
What? You're an advanced stats guy?
Yeah, I love the stats. Okay. The KenPom stats, Sports Reference, wherever you want to go. Okay.
Yeah, you love that stuff.
I ate it up. So earlier in the year, if you remember, there was a lot of conversation, myself included. We're watching this team. I thought this is a different defensive team, right? And after about 10 or 12 games, there are people saying that. And then a bunch of people on Twitter basically like, you dummies, the defense isn't better. Actually, the offense is the better. And look at the advanced stats. And I said it then, and I'm going to repeat it now. Advanced stats are nearly useless at the beginning of the year because of sample size. So people were making these broad strokes. Those of us who watch a lot of basketball, you can't always tell with your eyes what's going on, right? But there was clearly something different happening with this defense and has continued to improve. And now BYU's defense is, according to Sports Reference, 45th best in the country, and the offense is 64th best, okay? And that probably puts us, depending on what rating you're looking at, as a top 55 team total overall based on those things. But, Matt, the big difference to me this year, why this team is better, which is just strange to say, but they just clearly are better than last year's team by almost every measure, is the defense. You know, there is, you know, this isn't a spectacular defense. This isn't some, like, mid-90s, you know, Arkansas Razorback 40 minutes of hell defense. But it's a really solid defense, and everybody's playing it. If you look at the advanced stats, everybody who plays meaningful minutes has an above-average defensive rating. Every single person. And I look at that and I think to myself, you know, it's a team game, right? So part of that's a team thing. But, man, watching this team, it's kind of fun. I realize it's because of the pace. It's not as maybe thrilling as some of the offenses we've had over the last decade. But I love watching them, and I love watching them compete. I'm really enjoying this team a lot more than I have the last couple years.
Yeah, there is something about the chemistry, right? Which is that we used to talk about. I guess we still do, but there is something about the chemistry of the team that changes it. They're definitely more fun to watch, and like you said, they're clearly better in any, you know, quantifiable measure. They're just better than the team was last year.
I mean, you look at last year, Eric Mika was phenomenal, right? He had just one of the best years a big man has ever had, okay? But if you look at the top three players and their PER, you know, which of course is the player efficiency rating, you add those three up and it was Mika, Haas, and Emery, and it was like 60, okay? This year, it's more like 70 between the top three, which is Bryant, Childs, and Haas. And that's because Bryant and Childs are not having as good years as Mika did last year, but they're both having really good years. And you look at that, and it's just, last year we were kind of a one-person show. And this year we're a maybe a three-person show with Hawes playing the way he is, and it just changes things. And I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to make the tournament because there's just a numbers thing that's gonna hurt them. But I'm not going to be shocked if they do, Matt. I really think this team has a legitimate shot to do it. They've got to win a couple of these games and then have a good run in the conference tournament. But I think they're going to be a bubble team at the end. And I think they're more capable of winning the conference tournament than any team we've had in several years.
And that, I think, is the key right there. You know, they can go ahead and win two out of three, right, with St. Mary's and Gonzaga, right? And not do well in the conference tournament, and they're going to really be on the outside of that bubble. But because I think this team could go two out of three against what they have left against those two teams, I believe they've got a pretty good chance of getting in the conference final, the conference tournament final game.
Yeah.
And if they can do that and look good, you may be on to something there, because, you know, if you look at some of the statistics that you've cited out here, right, rankings in defense and rankings on offense and things, I mean, we're right in that mix.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're 20 on RPI and those kind of things. We're 20 points higher than we were last year, because a lot of people are referencing last year as, well, we didn't get him last year. Our resume looks totally different than last year up to this point, right? A lot of things can go south, right? Lose a game to Pacific. We're talking all about St. Mary's here. Lose a game to Pacific and lose to St. Mary's this week, and your resume takes a massive hit, right? So, you know, but if you beat St. Mary's and you beat, say, Gonzaga on the road the week after that, you're cooking with gas then, right?
Like, oh yeah.
All of a sudden you're probably not ranked yet, but maybe you are. You could in theory get close to, you get some votes for the top 25. And, you know, again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. They may lose both of those games and drop one of these other conference games, and then we're having a very different conversation a couple weeks from now, right? But I think the potential is there, Matt. The potential is there. Well, let's talk about that St. Mary's game. So they are, you know, a top 25 team, both, you know, statistically as well as the polls. They are one of the best offenses in the country. And it all is about Longdale.
Yes.
I am going to say this, and I don't actually think it's controversial. He's the best player in the country right now.
He really is, isn't he?
I mean, you can make an argument about a lot of players. Well, actually, I don't know if you can make an argument about a lot of players, but you can make a lot. You can make, you can make an argument about, a lot of players being really good. But let's look at, as I like to do, the advanced stats. Okay, if you look at all the advanced stats, if you look at, let's just do PER, player efficiency rating. Okay, he is right above Trae Young, Chris Cockley at Alabama, Birmingham, Marvin Bagley at Duke. Okay, if you do win shares, if you do any of these, Landale wins. Jock Landale, I think I called him Lawndale. I always do that. I combined Jock and Landale together, and it becomes Lawndale.
Or then he's Jack Lawndale.
Jack
instead of Lawndale. Jock Landale.
Yeah. Well, you know, just trying to keep it real. But if you look at that, Matt, he is the top over Trae Young. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say Trae Young's the best and whatever else, and he might be. I mean, the advanced stats aren't perfect, but you can make a Jock Landale argument without it being ridiculous, right? And what makes that team so dangerous, Matt, is they're all seniors. These guys have been playing together for 4 years, and it shows. When you watch them against Gonzaga usually looks like the veteran team that's got it all together. They didn't look like the team that had it all together in that game. I mean, it was.
Oh, no, they didn't.
It was clearly, and I know following some Gonzaga fans, they talked about that Gonzaga got out-coached, which honestly may be true, but I just thought they just got outplayed by players who just knew what they wanted to accomplish at the end, coaching or not.
No, I think that, yeah, I don't know that I'd say they got out-coached. I'm not sure. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I disagree with that. I think that just as they got deeper into that game, St. Mary's just took it over. I mean, Jock Landale had 26 points and 12 rebounds in that win. I mean, he scored a quarter of his team's points.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a night, and he may be the best player in the country. And they were not, they didn't have a good answer for him.
They got beat
because the St. Mary's players outplayed them. Like, yeah. that's just a fact. I feel like sometimes we all say, well, we got outcoached. You know, we don't want to say that your players are bad or that they perform poorly. It's a lot easier to go after a coach. And it also feels like some type of a moral victory, right? Like, no, we're just as good. We're in that. But, you know, our stupid coach, you know, he burnt this time out or he did this or that at the end. But at the end of the day, guys, St. Mary's just, they beat them because they're a better basketball team.
Now, I watched that game. Okay, the Gonzaga game. Then, after beating, you know, one of the top ranked teams in the country, they almost lost Pacific.
Yeah.
Now I should say almost lost.
Can I just go back and correct the number I just said? It's not a quarter. It was a third of his team's points, right?
Yeah, a third of his team's points. But he had 26 and 12. I mean, they had no answer for him.
Okay? Right.
Absolutely none. St. Mary's against Pacific. Couple nights later, we're down by 4 at halftime, Matt. To a team that's not Pacific is not terrible, but they're not a great team, right? And it's the classic letdown game, right? You'd beat your big rival, but I think that's more of a strength to them than not. I mean, they came back, and Landale once again, 32 points and 7 boards, 12 of 20 shooting, Matt. But the team isn't just about Landale, okay? There are two other players I want to focus on who, of course, we've seen for years, right? Which is, I've broken them down like this. You've got Calvin Hermanson. He's the offensive spark plug, right? 12 points, 4 boards a game. But the guy's true shooting percentage, which is basically taking down just, basically it takes field goals, three-pointers, and free throws, and puts it into one number, and he's one of the best in the country at that, okay? And then we've seen this for years now. Emmett Nahr, I mean, he's averaging 11 points, 3 boards, 9.1 assists a game, shooting almost 50% from the floor. He's second in the nation in assists to that guy named, Oklahoma stud who's, you know, probably going to be the one that wins Player of the Year instead of Landale. And in the West Coast Conference, Matt, he's at 9.1. The next person's at 5.8. I mean, Nahr is terrific. I mean, Landale's the best on the team, right?
Well, yeah, Landale's the best. He's maybe the best in the country. I mean, the guy's averaging a double-double. And Nahr's not too far behind him. I mean, Nahr's almost averaging a double-double. You got two guys on that roster putting up that type of production and other players on the team.
Well, if Hermanson, I'll say this, if Hermanson, as good as he is at scoring, if Hermanson was on a different team that didn't have a Landale, he's their best player offensively, right? And he'd be averaging 20 points a game or close there too. Instead, he's averaging 12 because the offense runs through Landale, right? And it should run through Landale.
Yeah, if you've got a Jock Landale on your roster,
you run everything.
The road goes through Landale.
You run everything. And as good as a year as, say, Eric Mika had last year, and he had a terrific year. As we've talked, we did whole shows, it felt like, that were just, you know, us gushing about how awesome he was, right? But if you look at that, Landale is that much better, right, than he was. And he is, you know, just been phenomenal this year. And quite frankly, he was almost just as good last year. I mean, his stats are pretty comparable. He's got more points this year because basically he's taking more shots. But if you look at all the rest of the stats, I mean, he was nearly as good last year, better this year, but nearly as good. Matt, we got a question from, and this one I've seen all over Twitter, but we get it from Zachary Thornton. That's at Coronado Zach on Twitter. He says, Jock Landale is just like Gonzaga's long line of centers that do the lean and push and move, putting them in a position to score. I hate it, and refs let them do it. What's the solution? Now, I've seen this a lot. A lot of people, and I get frustrated with it too, when Landale does that, lowers his shoulder. And you could tell Gonzaga, which was kind of ironic, because they've had a bunch of guys do it over the last the years we've been at the WCC. We're getting frustrated in that game against St. Mary's. Matt, what's the solution?
If you can't beat them, join them.
Nothing, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, you got to recruit to play in your conference, and this is the way basketball's played in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah,
you got
to
go find a guy. If you don't have a guy like that, you need to go get one.
And Mika, let's be honest, Mika benefited from this last year. I mean, There were people I remember seeing other fans complain about Mika being able to do it. Now, I don't know that was as big part of his game as it is of Landale's. But I think you just have to do your best.
Listen, since we joined this conference, there's been a guy or two every year on one of those two teams that has made his team good by doing that. Like, you just got to join up.
Well, and if the refs are going to call it that way, if you're Landale, you play that way, right?
Like, oh, 100%. This is how styles of play happen across sports.
Yes.
In different conferences, right? It's because something might, different things get emphasized or whatever, or, slowly, like, you just kind of break down a ref's tolerance for a certain type of foul or a certain type of infraction or play. And that's really what we're looking at here. This is the good basketball in the West Coast Conference is played that way. And, both of these teams have had guys who fit into that category the last 7 years, which is why the last 16 years, one of those two teams has won the conference.
Yeah. Yeah, that is 100% correct. So, I mean, it's crazy. Well, Matt, what does victory look like? If we're talking about this game next week and BYU won, what are one or two things that will have had to happen?
Say that again?
If we're looking at victory next week and we won, what are one or two things that the Cougars would have had to do to win this game?
I think one is they've got to hold them under 70 points. Mm. I think if they can hold them under 70 points, you have a very high chance of winning. Just if you look at the performance of this team statistically, when they've done that, they've won. And when they have failed to do that, in most cases, they have lost.
Yep.
Except with the exception of the Pacific game, but Pacific, and you look at Pacific's game against St. Mary's after their Gonzaga win, Pacific isn't a terrible team. Let's not lose sight of that, right?
And we play them next, right? So, keep eyes wide open on Saturday back at the Marriott Center.
And in a game like that, I really don't hold the defense responsible for that loss. The defensive play responsible for the loss against Pacific. But that's what they're going to have to do. They got to figure out a way to slow down St. Mary's offense. And when you look at it, when you look at the performance in this game the first time, and you look at the end of regulation, what did that look like?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they had all the opportunity in the world, but had they been able to hold them under 70. And end the game there, I think you have a legitimate shot at winning.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's two keys for me. You brought up the first one, which is defensively, you have to do something to slow this offense down and keep it under 70 points. And that something may be slowing. I mean, Landale had 32 points, 12 boards. He missed only two shots, 13 of 15 shooting, right? Like in that last game. So had we done just a better job against Landale. But, Landale may score his 25 points, right? I don't know if we can really hope to stop him from doing that based on the players that we have. But you have to hold him to something reasonable. I think you just have to control the rest of their offense as best you can. The second piece is, we need TJ Haws. If Haws can add 15 points and kind of be disruptive and hit a couple threes and drive to the hoop and create shots for other people, then I think you have a much better chance. I mean, in the last game, you obviously had, you know, Bryant had 16 points, 5 assists, and a couple steals. Childs had 29 and 10 and a couple steals. And then nobody else had much of anything, right? Haas had 7 points and 5 assists. He's going to have to be better than that, 3 of 10 shooting. We're just going to have to – he's going to have to play better. And I think it's him. I don't know that – maybe having Nixon back will help too, and we didn't have Nixon last time. But I think it's really TJ Haas.
Yeah, no, and you talked about Landale getting to 25 points. If you can hold him to 25 points, I think you have a shot. It's when he you know rings you up for 30.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's averaging 22, right? So
right.
I don't think we're going to keep him under 22.
I don't think we can expect to do it. But if you can keep him under 25, I think you got a shot.
Yeah, and then I think you just have to keep those. I mean, Hermanson can't be left open for threes. You got to keep Nahr out of the paint. I mean, there's some other things you can do to try to mitigate. But, I mean, this is one of the best offenses in the country, right? And Nahr had 10 assists against us last time.
Yeah, I think that's another very good point.
Did well against Hermanson last time. But Nahr was a pest in that game and had a really good game. I mean, obviously Landale had the massive game, but Nahr was, to me, pretty close to as vital as Landale because you know, he was the one that when Landale couldn't get a shot and was doubled or whatever else, he was the one that killed us. You know, so things to keep in mind. Matt, I'm predicting a BYU win. I think we win this game. I think we're on a roll, and BYU wins by 3. You?
Yeah, I think BYU has a shot at winning this game.
71-68.
You're going to go ahead and throw out a 71-68, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You gonna join me on the Cougar train? No, you're not.
I'm not. I don't think they keep Landale under 25. I also don't think they'll keep St. Mary's under 70 in this game.
Okay.
So I think it's a close game. I think maybe it even is a little bit closer than the last one. But I think you're looking at like a 74-68 loss.
And then on Saturday, do we get some revenge against Pacific?
Yes, I think yes. We come back and beat Pacific.
Win or lose against St. Mary's, I think we beat Pacific at home. Matt, quickly before we talk about some Tom Holmoe had a press conference today, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to give our best 5 movies of 2017 at the end of this show. So hold on, folks.
Oh boy,
coming up soon. Men's volleyball after the big win a couple weeks ago against #1 Ohio State. They swept Barton. The Cougars did at home in 6 straight sets on Friday and Saturday night. Pretty easy game. This week, it's on the road against the Anteaters of UC Irvine, who BYU's 5th in the country, UC Irvine's 6th. The Anteaters are 6-1, so 2 tough road games here. Matt, this is a fun team. I've watched a few of the matches. We're really balanced. This is a fun team, and as we talked about, you know, after the Ohio State win, this is a championship contender again. Here we go again. Buckle up, everybody. And I think they split with UC Irvine this weekend. UC Irvine's good, so.
Yeah, UC Irvine's a pretty good program.
And you're on the road, so. But you know, if BYU sweeps it, I'm not going to be shocked by any stretch of the imagination. Unfortunately, it's not on BYU TV. It's on. You can stream it, though, on the WTV or whatever that is. I've done that before in a couple of these, so it's all right. Matt, let's talk about football, and we'll talk about Tom Holmoe because most of his press conference was about football and conference realignment and stuff. And Jerem Jordan, friend of the podcast, Jerem Jordan, did an excellent job recapping it on Twitter if you want to go see that. And there's been some articles already in the Des News and the Salt Lake Tribune as well. Matt, we'll start out with another appearance by Justin Sweeney in the tweet bag.
Sweeney.
He says, BYU officially released the 2018 schedule, ranked top 5 hardest games. Matt, didn't we do this like a month ago? I feel like we did exactly this a month ago.
Yeah, but see, now it's official.
It's the same schedule, but let's do it again!
We're doing it again.
All right, Matt, we're going to do it draft
the
style.
The bit's so nice, we did it twice.
We're going to do it draft style. We're going to draft the top six games, and we're going to do it rapid style. All right, Matt, you pick first. Toughest game on the BYU schedule for 2018.
Toughest game. I'm going to go ahead and say the Wisconsin Badgers at Camp Randall.
Very good. My pick, Washington in Seattle. Next, third toughest game.
Third toughest game, I'm going to say, is the Cal Bears in Provo.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to say the fourth toughest game is Utah in Salt Lake.
Yep.
All right, fifth toughest game.
I would have taken UMass before Utah, just for the record. But the next toughest game, I feel it really just, they all kind of meld together for me after that point. So
no, they don't. Stop it.
Really?
At Boise. That's your
pick.
Oh,
okay. No, at Boise. At Boise. Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. And now, then, now the gap starts to tighten.
Arizona, as you've seen, the line on that is they are a 7.5-point favorite on the road. At home against BYU. I'm going to go with the sixth toughest game is at Arizona.
You just say the sixth toughest game?
Sixth toughest game. Suffering succotath.
This is serious, guys. Okay,
sorry, I don't know what's going on with me tonight. More Dr. Pepper, please. Here we go. I'll speak much clearer now. So I'm going to go with Arizona.
My enunciation will be dramatically improved.
But I'm with you. It drops off after that top five. Whichever order you want to put them in, I think there's a drop off after that, but maybe not. I think you might have picked California too soon. I think Boise's actually maybe a tougher game than Cal, but regardless, we'll see. Matt, what about the 2019 schedule? It's kind of finished, at least it seems like it. And you've got, you know, we talked about this before. You've got Utah at home, at Tennessee, USC in Provo, Washington in Provo, and then at Toledo. That's your five games in September/August. Matt, if you're a BYU season ticket holder, I get that the November doesn't look great when it's Liberty, Idaho, and Idaho State, but you're going to get to see Utah, USC, and Washington in September, and then get Boise in October. I may need to move to Provo just for that 2019 football schedule.
It's not a terrible situation.
It's not a terrible situation. And the other thing that people have pointed out is 2018 schedule ends with Utah and 2019 schedule opens with Utah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm telling you right now, it's Kalani Sitake beat Utah in 2018.
Let's get it done.
Let's end this crap.
It would be crazy as if at the end of 2018 we play them in a bowl game and then play them three games in a row.
That'd be awesome. That'd be the best.
No they would love that. They're actually all secretly hoping that that's what happens.
Of course they are. They're obsessed with us. They're absolutely obsessed with us. Matt, state of things with Tom Homo, okay? So I'm going to check off a few things that he talked about. Now, keep in mind, this is a press conference, and so a lot of this is dictated, as Jerem pointed out on Twitter, by what the reporters in the room asked Tom Homo, right?
Like, right.
This wasn't a 30-minute speech of his. This was him answering questions, okay? He got asked a lot about independence. Tom Homo says independent. This is the game we're going to play, Matt. Said, what's the best way to phrase this? True or not true? That's terrible. What can we call this game? Not true or not true.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with this game.
Basically, do you believe him? Do you believe Tom Homo? Okay.
There is a game for this, but I don't think we can use the title or the words you yell out while you're playing it on this podcast.
You're ridiculous.
So we're just gonna have to do something else.
All right. So I don't even know what we're calling this. Anyway,
I know what I'm calling it in my head.
Oh, great, great. You're as usual, you're a big help. Matt.
You know how close I came to just blurting it out just now?
Yeah, I don't want to edit, okay? Don't make this editing harder than it needs to be. Matt, all he right. said independence still works. Do you believe that independence still works?
Today?
He seemed to, I mean, based on what I read, it seemed to be like he was, we can do this indefinitely.
I think you can. It all boils down to what your goal is, right? And so if we're sticking with the goals that were set out when we went independent in the first place, which was about access, not access to the BCS whatever, or now the college football playoff. This is about having access for alumni to see the players play by traveling all over the country, wherever we could get, and giving our players access and opportunity to play on the big stages against great teams. Okay, and maybe that was part of the exposure, right? But it was access and exposure, right? And yes. So if those are your goals, yeah, I think it is sustainable.
It's sustainable as long as ESPN or Fox or somebody is willing to give them a bunch of money.
Right, which happens as long as you win and people are watching.
Notre Dame still got a lot of money when they were mediocre. We won't, of course, ever get Notre Dame money. There's enough BYU fans nationally that it would take a lot of years of losing for somebody to not take a chance on us, where we can do better independently with money than we could in a G5 conference.
If you look at the money we were getting out of the TV deals and everything in the Mountain West Conference,
peanuts.
And compared to what you're getting out of ESPN right now, I think even if you lose the ESPN deal, you end up somewhere else. You might not make as much money. But
Fox Sports, CBS Sports, somebody else will take a shot. Matt, his another point that was brought up was people talked about how hard the schedule was, and Homo was a little defensive, like, we have to schedule like this. And he pointed out, and I think he said something similar before, but he said scheduling C-level opponents, easy. So what we're talking about here is the terrible teams, right? He said scheduling A-level opponents, also easy. So that would be USC, Washington, you know. The B-level opponents is where he says it's hard. And that's the Boise States of the world, right?
Right, because they don't want to play you.
Because they don't want to play you, right? So Matt, buy or sell? Buy or sell! Dang it! That's what we should be calling this the whole time. buy or sell, scheduling B opponents is hard. B-level opponents. Buy. I'm totally buy.
Look at the schedules. What do you not have a lot of? It's you got these dumbbell schedules. You got these really difficult teams and these really easy teams. I mean, it's apparent that those teams are harder to schedule.
Yes, they're harder to schedule. No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Matt, another thing. This one was a little, I think, caught people off guard. He said there's nothing imminent with joining a conference, but that he has been talking and always has an open line of communication with multiple conferences. Buy or sell that Tom Homo is talking joining a conference, or at least keeping that dialogue open with conferences, with more than one conference?
I'm buying that.
Who are they? I'm also buying it, by the way. So let's start. Is he talking to the SEC?
Nope.
Is he talking to the ACC?
Possibly.
I think it's possible. Big 12, yes, but what a mess, right?
But he's probably talking to the Big 12. I hope he isn't.
Big 10, no.
No.
He's not talking to the Big 10 about it. Pac-12,
no.
Yes, absolutely he is. Look at our schedule. Look at our schedule. We're basically playing a Pac-12 light schedule, right? Like, we're their out-of-conference games.
That's not the same as putting you in the conference.
I'm telling you right now.
It's not like it's not like the ACC deal with Notre Dame, and it's not same.
You are correct. I'm telling you right now, I don't think we get into the Pac-12. But everybody but two or three schools in there, and probably maybe more than two or three, a majority of those schools would take us.
Do you know who definitely would vote no? Is the University of Utah.
I don't know.
I would be a hard no if I were the University of Utah and somebody came to me and asked, I want BYU
but
in the
no
conference?
Overlapping fans. Like, I get the geography, but I mean, it would hurt their recruiting, right?
Because exactly.
Their recruiting right now with the big Utah recruits is we're in the Pac-12 and they're independent, right? You're probably right. From a football standpoint, I think the administration probably says yes, though, at the University of Utah, right? I think everybody believes we're better together, right? I at an administrative standpoint, not at a student slash coaching standpoint, because obviously Krestowiak doesn't. Oh, I said his name! Oh, I've just cursed myself!
I said his name out loud.
Oh, I said it out loud. I'm so sorry, everyone. Do I have to bleep that out?
I didn't even know for sure if you knew his name.
Do I have to bleep that out?
I don't know. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I feel terrible inside.
I'm going to be distracted for the rest of the podcast. Do you feel kind of empty and hollow inside?
Yeah, I feel yucky. Like I need to put soap in my mouth.
Well, you probably should, just to be safe.
Yeah, yes. Thanks, bud. So, anyway, all right. Let's move on to the next thing. By the way, let's do G5 conferences. Is he having conversations with the Mountain West?
Nope.
No, he actually said that in the conference that he talks with the Mountain West.
So that was like a quiz question. You were asking to see if I had actually read listened to the conference.
American conference.
Yep.
Any other G5 conference?
No,
I agree with you. All right. Another thing he said that I thought was interesting is that the relationships with the Mountain West Conference schools have warmed again. I got called out on this a few weeks ago on the podcast where I said that there were still some bitter Mountain West Conference schools. He seemed to say there really aren't, and they even had a potential game with Air Force that just didn't work out in the schedule. Matt, buying or sell that everything's good with all the Mountain West Conference schools?
Selling that. That's a load of malarkey.
There's a couple of schools. I agree that probably most of them have gotten over it.
Well, you didn't have a huge beef with the Air Force Academy.
Well, but Air Force was annoyed that we left. I mean, their administration had said a few things, and it was clear they felt left behind by us in Utah, right? You know, we went independent, Utah left for the Pac-12, and we'd kind of been linked at the hip with them for a long time. But I don't know that Wyoming feels much better.
San Diego State doesn't feel any better.
Well, they scheduled us, though.
Which is weird.
I mean, we've got a game against them in 2019, which I am looking forward to in a strange way. And then the last thing he mentioned, Matt, was Nick Emery. And we're not going to do a buy or sell on this one. But Nick Emery, he said, you know, he's welcome to come back. He wouldn't comment on the NCAA investigation. Nick Emery's been very open on his blog, on some blog posts about, you know, his mental health issues, where he's at, his desire to come back and play basketball. I have to say hats off to the guy for being open about these issues, and I'm wishing him the best. I'm hoping that he taking this year off is what he needs to do, and that if he decides he wants to come back and play basketball at BYU or whatever else, I hope he gets the chance and that we see him next season if that's what he thinks is best for him.
Yeah, I don't know what there is more to say on that.
There's nothing more to say. I just said it. But anyway, it was, you know, I think Tom Homo handled it well in the presser. Matt, let's talk movies. So Sweeney sent us have you had a chance to look at the YouTube video?
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I did.
So basically it was this funny pitching of The Last Jedi, and it made fun of a lot of the issues folks have with it. If you're really interested in how I feel about The Last Jedi, I did a whole podcast with it on Bleep, the podcast. You can check it out on Twitter at Bleep Podcast, or just search Bleep the Podcast on iTunes or any of the major services for podcasts. I did it with two other guys, and we had a good discussion about how we felt about it. And Sweeney pointed out that he actually likes The Last Jedi and some of that You know, didn't like some of the other stuff, but I didn't like everything about it. It's not my favorite. But Matt, we got asked another question on Facebook from Randy Whittle. What are your top five movies of 2017?
Oh, whoa, Nelly.
Did you even see five movies in the theater in 2017?
I did. I went through the list of top movies of 2017, and I saw exactly five of them.
I saw 14 movies in the theater last year, which is certainly not a record, but for a guy with five kids,
it's pretty good.
And seeing that only two of these are animated children's films, that feels pretty good. That feels pretty good.
You should be proud of yourself.
So, Matt, we're drafting the top six movies of 2017.
So we each got to pick six?
No, we each pick three.
All right, good. Because if I get into six, I'm going to have to pick movies that were really just okay.
And this time, I go first.
Oh, you were no longer magnanimous.
I do not like being magnanimous.
All right, go for it then.
So it was the first pick in the 2017 movie draft. And by the way, none of the movies I have on my list. No, that's not true. I did see a couple of movies that got nominated by... for the Oscars, but most of these are not Oscar-nominated movies. But this one
is. Does it really matter? Armageddon was nominated for four Oscars, so let's just not.
Let's just cut to the chase here. And by the way, Boss Baby was nominated. Baby Boss,
Is that a 2017 film?
Yeah. It's one of. I'm sorry, 15. It's one of the 15 movies I saw last year, and it's not. Really good.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the theater, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Matt, my first pick is Coco.
Dang it.
Aha! See, I knew
that was
I
the
had
best
to take that.
That was the best movie in 2017. Was the best movie.
Best movie I saw last year. And I'm not saying it's not close because I liked a bunch of movies last year. Of the 15 that I saw outside of Boss Baby, I liked all of them. There are a few that were just okay. But I liked him. So Matt, my first pick is Coco. It's off the board. What's your first pick? I took yours.
Do you know, the next one I had on my list was?
What?
Wonder Woman.
Ah, that was next on my list. Good call, buddy.
That was a pretty good movie.
That was a good movie. My next pick is Kong Skull Island. I'm totally kidding. Though I did enjoy that movie. I'll be honest. But it's not in my top. Matt, the next one on mine, and these, it got really tough for me beyond the first two. Coco and Wonder Woman were my two favorite. After that, it got a little tougher. But my second pick of this draft is going to be Spider-Man Homecoming.
Really?
Yeah, did you like that one?
I did like it. It wasn't in my top three, it might have made top five.
It was like a superhero and a John Hughes movie put together. You know, teenage angst mixed with awesome action and Iron Man. All right, Matt, what's your second movie?
So I'm still kind of culling some of the results here to make sure I didn't miss something good. But, you know, as you know, I didn't get to a ton of movies in the theater. I think the next one I go to here is The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. That's good. It was a good movie. I liked it a lot.
It was a great movie.
Really good. It's really good. I loved it. I've seen it twice. Enjoyed it even more the second time. Matt, I'm going to give out a couple of, you know, we'll talk about, movies that didn't make our list that maybe we still liked here in a second. This was a really tough choice to come up with this last one.
The emoji movie, I'm going to be so mad.
Crap. I can't say that one. I didn't see that.
I've seen it.
So did Kathleen. She would like that 90 minutes back.
It's truly awful.
I haven't seen this movie because it was rated R, but I'm going to take with my next pick, Logan.
Yeah, see, I never got to Logan, but I've wanted to see it.
Well, No, you haven't. It's rated R. You haven't wanted to see it.
You can want to watch an a rated R movie.
No, you can't.
Doesn't mean you did it.
It's a sin. But Logan's the number three on my. What's your last pick of this draft?
See, for me, it kind of you took away my Spider-Man Homecoming. Mm. I think with the last pick of this draft, I want to go with. I'd almost want to pick a movie that I wish I would have seen in 2017, but didn't.
What was it?
Wonder.
Oh, I didn't see Wonder either. I need to see it. And
I don't see any like serious movies, right? If you look at my list, it's all like superhero movies and a couple of cartoons. Man, I'd say, but Coco, I feel like was a serious movie.
Well, yeah, Coco was a serious. What about Dunkirk? Did you see Dunkirk?
I didn't see Dunkirk. That was on my list. I almost rented that on the plane the other day on a trip I was taking for work. I was like, oh, I can finally watch Dunkirk. There's a ton of movies in 2017. Like good movies that
what about
I didn't...
Thor Ragnarok?
Thor Ragnarok was good, but.
Not
I
to
feel
the
like
level
they were
of some of these others.
No, and I think they were trying too hard to make it like Guardians of the Galaxy. It was
Guardians
fun.
Of the Galaxy 2 was
I enjoyed
good.
It, but it wasn't Thor. Like they changed they changed the characters.
Yeah,
the Lego Batman movie, you know, was an early
Lego Batman movie. I was going to say Lego Batman movie was an almost for me. War for the Planet of the Apes, I really liked. And then movies that I didn't consider for this list that I saw. And I don't think any of them were terrible, but I just didn't like them as much. Beauty and the Beast, live action. It just made me think I want to watch the animated one. You know? Justice League. I didn't hate it like a lot of people seem to. It was entertaining to me, but it's fairly forgettable, and I'm not, like, dying to see it again. Dunkirk.
Yeah, it was good. I was
Dunkirk,
entertained.
Which we mentioned was really good. And easily could have been on my list if I'd just been a different day and felt different. You know, I mentioned Kong Skull Island. War for the Planet of the Apes was terrific. I thought it was marketed poorly, but it did well. And then I saw The Dark Tower, the Stephen King one, and it was okay. People hate on it big time, and I read those books a long time ago. So, but, you know, those are the – and then, like I said, Boss Baby, which I just wish
my kids
didn't like that movie.
Yeah. I don't, I'm not even sure how many times I've seen the Emoji Movie. I'm going to be honest with you.
Are you serious? Your kids like that?
Or listened to it.
It's banned in our house.
There are some funny poop jokes.
Well, he's got a poop emoji.
And he has a son.
Of course he does.
And they make some pretty funny jokes. We're number two.
I just remember seeing the ad on TV going, if the ad on TV can't be funny, that's not a good sign. You know?
Listen, somebody was sitting around and said, I know what we'll do. Let's make a movie where the emojis are characters. All right, well, what's the story going to be? That's not important.
We're
going to use the emojis as characters.
Yes, and then we'll sell pillows.
Kids are going to... love this. We're going to market the crap out of this.
The
that's
crap
what happened.
Out of it? Really?
I didn't even do that on purpose.
And did we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 2? I liked that a lot, too.
I did like it.
That could have been on my list. That could have been on my list. And for 2017, it's all about Infinity War and Black Panther and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Those all look really
and
good.
And Han Solo. And probably... some other movies. What was that? Wrinkle in Time. A Wrinkle in Time.
A Wrinkle in Time looks really good for 2018. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And I wish they were doing Wonder Woman 2 already.
I'd go to that. That'll be better than Justice League.
Or Coco 2.
Oh, I don't know what you do with the Coco 2.
Oh, no. The one I'm most excited about in 2018 is freaking Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah, that's got some real promise to it.
Of course it does. That first movie
they make another Lego Batman movie? That was pretty good.
I've heard rumors that they were going to do that, yes. I don't know if you can catch how often you can catch lightning in that bottle. I was really nervous about that movie, and it turned out to be really good. I thought it was going to be a Minions, right? Like, he was good in a limited role in the Lego movie, right? And then it was going to expand it, and you're going to be like, oh, my gosh. And
this isn't funny anymore.
That opening fight scene and then him at home by himself eating the lobster Thermidor, phenomenal. I'm like, I'm sitting there in the theater going, never mind, they nailed it. They nailed it. You know, they nailed it. So, well, anyway, this has been an hour and 10 minutes of absolute nonsense.
Yeah, it's total nonsense.
So we'll be back next week to talk about what happened against St. Mary's, to preview Gonzaga, and other stuff. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Check out this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play.